Actually, it's a privilege to see sometimes the conversion that takes place, that they realize that they are nearing their end and they're looking forward. Some of them look forward then to the moment and say, oh, I'm looking forward to dying, because they do receive great graces.
But most of us, Sister Rosari told me, need someone to help us understand and accept. That's how she and Sister Denise spend their afternoons when they come home from work at the Rider Association, going from house to house with medical skill, words of comfort, and the strength of faith for the old and dying.
First of all, it is very important to build up rapport with the patient, old, elderly, whatever. And, you never go in and preach religion immediately. At least that's my personal experience. I just go in and I get to know them. And then after a few visits and doing things for them and talking to them, they'll just come out with, maybe they haven't been practicing their religion for some years. Others will tell you that they've always practiced their religion and they can't understand why God has treated them like this. So this is what we call their agenda, and you pick up their agenda and start sorting them out a little bit. We go back then to the one who will say he or she hasn't practiced religion for years. And oftentimes I find that they've had a very spiritual life without necessarily going to church. Mm-hmm. You get people who are quite spiritual and they just for some unknown reason they've just lapsed, and they just go on like that and get into that routine. So believe in God, and then you pick up from there and then tell them the meaning of explaining suffering and the mystical body of Christ and how the Lord works through their illness. The passion of Jesus is continued in them as the mystical body of Christ. And this suffering, instead of lamenting about it, to turn it into a redemptive suffering, to make reparation for what's happening in the world, all the evil.
Sister Rosari's mission means that she's always tuned in to people's spiritual needs and sufferings. But even Anna Maria, who simply visits people in old age homes, taking them biscuits, tea and company, says that faith is what makes them want to live their life to the very end.
I can see one of these little tiny old women going around with this rosary and, saying prayers, and when they look at you and then they say, well, I'm praying also for you, And
it's to journey with them, because they realize now, when they're at a certain age and a certain illness, that our time is limited. And you have to take that fear away from, because everybody's frightened. We're all frightened. And that's a natural thing. And so you explain that to them, and then you say, well, why are you frightened? So it's always frightened of the unknown. So you give them the image of the Lord as a loving father, and he's ready to embrace them. The doors would be flung open for them, and this relieves a lot of them. They'll talk away, and I say, well, take each day as it comes. Don't be anticipating, because we just don't know. The Lord works minute by minute.
Yes, the Lord works minute by minute, but of more immediate perception than that is maybe that minute by minute pain becomes more and more unbearable, or energy is being drained steadily away.
Speaking about the spiritual aspects of sickness and old age, the first thing to say is that when one is dealing with sickness and old age, it would be very unrealistic to think that everything is spiritual. The physical condition is in itself at the center of whatever spirituality there may be.
Father Bernard Hall is doubly qualified to talk about the spiritual aspects of old age. He is the Father Superior of the Jesuit community, where the infirmary for elderly men of the order is also lodged. He explained to me what he means in the example of the Gospel.
We have one of our Jesuit saints, St. Peter Claver. He was the man who went off to Latin America, and he was there the slave of the slaves. He met the slaves as they were brought in from Africa, abandoned, dying, and so on, and he dedicated his life to caring for them. He was a profoundly spiritual man. His aims were spiritual. But the immediate concern, the expression of the spirituality, was the care, the sympathy, the compassion. And you get the same in the Gospels of the Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan is the example of the Lord's compassion. But he was the man who got off his horse or whatever he was on and looked after the man, pouring in oil and wine and taking care of him. So it's to see that the spirituality is intricately, intimately connected with the physical condition. And the physical condition is not just that of the aches and pains of old age, they are those, but it's the whole situation, the mentality, the inner person who is sick.
Of course, the men in the Jesuit infirmary have spent their lives on a spiritual mission. It's easier for them to understand and accept the fading away, the breaking down, the suffering. But still, they are human, and they share the pain of more worldly people.
Here in the infirmary that we have, where men are old in their 80s and 90s, clearly their ordinary strengths, energies, capacities are very much reduced, and they become dependent. They are no longer the active, but they are the patient, the passive. And that it is a great humiliation and can be discouraging. Well, that being said, that the reality of the spirituality for these sick people is something that is intimately connected with their physical and the mental condition that goes with it. The question that you would ask is, good, in that situation, what can you do to direct the physical condition to a spiritual end?
Father Hall has the same answer for his elderly Jesuits as Sister Rosari has for the old lady in the next block of flats.
Their sufferings can legitimately be seen as a sharing in the sufferings of Christ.
But for us common mortals, a 24-hour day made up of aches, pains, fear, and often loneliness needs other kinds of comfort as well.
I feel that we do really bring a lot of peace and serenity to people because they feel they can call us at any time, you know, if they're lonely or if they're sick or if they need anything. And it's not really what we do. It's just our mere presence, sitting down and letting that person talk and talk and talk.
Sister Denise works together with Sister Rosari in one of Rome's most difficult areas on the outskirts of the city.
People will pour out everything to you, and the religious side will come out as well, like, you know, in the middle of all that, because sometimes you get people feeling very guilty, especially if they've been used to going to Mass every Sunday, and maybe the family, then the younger members of the family, would not bother maybe going to Mass themselves, and that person is there, unable to come down the stairs because there's no lift in the house, and maybe not able to look at Mass on television because the family wants some other program, and that that person really has just got alone to turn to, really, and can feel very sort of isolated and feel that God is not there at all. Then we try and tell that person, yes, God is always there. God is in every situation. All you try and just put all your problems in God's hands, and He'll take care of them for you.